As children and young people, we made silent promises to ourselves, ones born out of staying safe or keeping the peace in our homes. We don't necessarily remember them, but they are in our consciousness and our cells. But what happens when those old promises no longer serve us? What if the soul is calling for something more? In this episode, we're diving into the unseen contracts we made with ourselves as kids or earlier in our life, those inner vows that formed in response to fear, survival, or longing to be accepted. We'll explore the many faces that these vows can take and the quiet ways they shape our decisions, our relationships, and our sense of self. But more importantly, we'll uncover how to begin the sacred process of releasing them. Because on the other side of these vows, there's freedom, there's expansion, and a return to our truest self, the you that existed before the world told you who to be. Join me for this healing conversation and what it means to honor our past while finally choosing something new. Are you obsessed with the mystic? Are you looking for sisterhood? Are you ready to explore your inner magic? You've arrived, sister. Welcome home. I'm Maureen Spielman, and I started this show to highlight the intuitives, healers, and other courageous women I have met along my journey. Through amazing interviews, we go deep into the mystics and uncover the ways in which you can apply the knowledge and wisdom in your own life. We are all in this together. Sharing healing and joy in community is both my passion and my purpose. Here's today's conversation. Welcome back to Mystical Sisterhood. This is your host, Maureen Spielman, and I'm on my own today. We're meeting for the first time in a while since the summer solstice, which is now about 2 weeks ago. I believe it's time for new beginnings. We see a lot of changes in individuals who surround us, and I dare say in the collective. There's new calls for rest, for integrating what we've been up to and learned so far, and visioning too of what we want to see for both our individual and collective futures. I invite you to settle in today, to take a breath, get comfortable, whether it's in the pace of your walking, grabbing a cup of tea if you're sitting to listen, or doodling while you listen, or cleaning out your closet. All these things are viable ways to be listening in. And just enter a zone of taking those deeper breaths and relaxing into yourself and resetting. So my intention is that this episode meet you exactly where you are today. Exactly where you are today is perfect. It's right in line with everything that's meant to be for you. May there be something said or shared in this episode that you take into your heart, your day, and into your week, anything that resonates. What's been stirring in my heart this week is a lot, but it's when I was young, unbeknownst to me, I took a vow of silence. And I think vows came to me because of a recent experience I had where I took my wedding ring, which had been sitting in a jewelry box for a long time because it didn't fit my finger anymore. And I brought it to a local jeweler to have something else done with it. It was suggested that the stone be put into bezel set, which is just the stone on a necklace with a gold sort of, I guess, border around it. And it's just beautiful. What I didn't realize when I took that in, I thought I was just, this is how life works, right? We think we're doing something in the most surface level, but it actually has a lot of meaning to it. I went to pick up the finished product and it was beautiful. And I've had it around my neck since. I haven't taken it off. And what dawned on me just the other day, it was like, oh, wow, I'm in a phase of my life where I'm making new vows to myself, because we think of marriage when we think of vows, right? And I love it too. I'll just say as an aside that it's also not lost on me that where this stone sits now is between my throat chakra and my heart chakra. And I find that to be perfectly placed as at least two of the chakras I'm attempting to open more and more in these days. So I was thinking about vows, and the vow that came to me was the vow of silence that I took as a child. I was thinking, like, how do people usually think of vows? And I think the marriage example is a great one, but also another common way to think of it is monks or those on a spiritual path often take vows of silence to deepen their connection to the divine, or deepen their connection to self or source or a higher power. And so I'm not really in that line, although it fits somewhere. And my vow of silence was sort of unbeknownst to me. I didn't know that I was doing it. I'm going to share with you why, through my eyes, that occurred. Other types of vows, I'm wondering if you relate to the vow of silence and keeping your voice quieter. Other ones that I thought of were vows of parenting your own parents because they needed that. I think that's called parentifying. Vows of giving all your things to another to create an equanimity or fairness or happiness amongst people. Vows of suppressing your emotions so that your uncomfortable emotions didn't upset anyone else. Vows of putting your needs to the side in favor of another or others. Vows of overexpressing or oversharing, in which we would just be putting it all out in the open, not really having boundaries. Vows of being accessible at all times for others. These are all ways that you would have created a scenario that made you fit well into your family. It created safety for you. For me, it put me under the radar. I really believe that they're the ways that were seeded very young, that seeded this concept of us moving away from our true, authentic selves. And that's why I've chosen to address it. I looked up, because you know I love words, the word vow and what it means in the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary. And when used as a noun, as in I made a vow, it means a solemn promise or assertion. Specifically, an example is one by which a person is bound to an act, service, or condition. And then when used as a verb, it's to promise solemnly, swear, and to bind or consecrate by a vow. So I kind of like looked up those meanings and they feel kind of intense to me. I have to be honest with you. I don't know, but that they feel sort of binding. So it's one of these words that I've talked about before, but let's create a new vibrant meaning for it. And we'll get to that towards the end of the podcast. I think that probably the parts that feel binding or intense to me are conditioned parts of that word. I think I want to say that as it relates to these subconscious vows I'm talking about, it's an obedience to earlier labels we were given in our life, projections others made of us for who they needed us to be, like I just mentioned. And I'm calling these places to the table to be noticed. So whatever's coming up in terms of the vow you made to yourself or vows, it wants to be noticed, honored, included in our inner work processes, and released as you become ready. And as we know, you've been a listener for a while. This might be your first time here. I do know that things can be disintegrated, snapping my fingers, in a moment's notice. And also they can stay with us for a long period of time until we get to the place where we're ready to release them. Typically, I think we can do this for ourselves too, but when people come in our sphere that can help us release them. So if you've been a listener, you know that when I was very young, I had three older sisters and a brother. And when I was three, my little sister was born, my baby sister. And I learned to be a really quiet child. And I was thinking about this, I was probably born quite a lively child. But there was an order that I sensed when I looked at what was happening around me that I needed to be quiet in order to keep the peace. And too much craziness wasn't welcome. You have these little eyes, right? You're 18 months, you're 2 months old, 3 years old, and you're taking in the scene around you. I find it fascinating because I do believe there's that past life information that's coming through for us that also lends to how we see through that lens, probably from a really early age. I think that I want to say too, there was a lot of fun in my household for sure, but when there needed to be put a lid on it or someone needed you to be quiet or orderly or in your place, I was going to get in that line pretty fast. It's not a comment necessarily on how I grew up or anything wrong with it, because I do believe that I chose my family of origin and my parents and each of my siblings. So with that framework, which is mine and maybe not yours, I can see that there must be reasons why I chose what I chose. And I remember that the mantra of "she's so quiet" became my persona. I have one picture of me where I'm sitting on my mom's lap and so darling, probably 4 or 5, my legs are sort of dangling down. And I was just like really wide-eyed and quiet. I'd hear stories of how I broke my leg or, for God's sakes, ruptured my small intestine. And she was so quiet. She was so quiet. I remember being in pain. I remember being scared of the doctor in the hospital. But I didn't already, that voice, my expression, the throat chakra was, it was being closed down and constricted. I didn't really think that the name fit necessarily like quiet, but I did know that when I got praise for being that, it felt like the sun was shining on me. And I felt it pleased my parents. I felt like, I think on some level, it helped out the whole. I think a rider to my quietness became shyness. And as I got older, I became the shy child. I don't know about you, but naturally, inherently, as I got older, I registered that as being angry that someone was putting a label on me. And I would get mad about it. This is the part that I won't go into, but as the story goes, all hell broke loose in about 7th grade when I was coming more into myself developmentally, and the labels absolutely didn't fit. I didn't want to be that person. I do believe that could be a whole episode, but just the point was that this label, the quiet one, the one who didn't bring her ideas and experiences readily to the table, had been waiting for her, and she was beginning to emerge, but she didn't know how to do that. Fascinating thing is, this does become your life's work, whatever the vow you're in process of healing. I can say that for myself. Like when I'm talking about this, can you relate at all to any label put on you as a young child or by teachers anywhere in your life? It could be, you know, we talk about the intelligence lies we've been told in our life. It could be that I'm not good at math. It could be things that we picked up in school, not good at sports. And we're recreating these relationships now, which is like super cool, I think. Breaking free of labels and the designations. And as one astute therapist once said to me, the prescriptions that were given to you, it's really big work. It's work that I've personally done and I continue to actively do as I break through the many layers that came from my limited beliefs that I had acquired as a younger person. The vows we've made to different ways of being that aren't ourself, they can emerge at different times in our lives. It doesn't have to be when we're 2 or 7 or 10. It could be when we were 30 or 40 and we had a new experience in our lives and maybe we responded to it fearfully, or we still weren't approved of in a way. And so we created a maladaptive way that's not our truth at all. I think that the awareness of what doesn't fit, if something is coming to you today that you may have been actually working on for a while now, but is still kind of sticky for you and it's still there for you, this is where the shift happens, where our awareness and our discomfort with it becomes so great and we know it's hindering our path forward. So I want to say that too, like when our awareness, it's almost like the Michael Beckwith, I think he's got a quote around the pain pushes until the vision pulls. And that idea that when something becomes so painful or we get sick and tired of being sick and tired in the most beautiful way, not where we're actually sick, but we're tired, we're exhausted by the ways that don't fit anymore. I think that sometimes that is the thing that gets us to the table of wanting to do the work around releasing. So now those parts that felt very unseen and misunderstood as a younger version, then welcome them, welcome to the table. Someone once told me about internal family systems, that you can envision all these different parts of yourself and they're actually coming to like a kitchen table or a boardroom table. So I welcome the part of me that felt quieted, that felt someone else needed me to be something that actually has a lot to say, wants to say it unabashedly, knows that in the building of this sisterhood and a very compassionate, almost brotherhood, you know, if we want to include, you know, both, all of it, the masculine and the feminine, that this is what we're doing. We're inviting us all to the table. So I love that work of IFS where we're bringing in all the parts and we're welcoming them and we're asking questions of them and seeing what needs are beneath. So little by little, I think through, for me, both in my personal life and on the podcast journey, it is the little by little of allowing a new way of communicating to come out, allowing what I want to say to come out, working with the fear that comes up around saying truth, because I also grew up where I took on a belief system that if you were sharing or communicating, that it would necessarily involve conflict. And even if that was a more low-level conflict that I endured, it still really kind of got into my subconscious that communication equaled conflict, which it does not. Communication can be sharing of yourself, wanting to engage in a back and forth kind of conversation. I think that's a really interesting phenomena that happens when communication is viewed as conflict, and to settle our nervous systems and know that it doesn't need to be. You may have experienced that as a kid, but we can rewrite what we went through. So for me, it's the welcoming in. It's doing the inner child work around what did that five-year-old need? What did she want to hear? And reparenting the parts of myself that took the vow. And so I can dissolve those ways of being and thinking about myself, but also give myself the practical experience of using my voice, whether it was hindered in many ways. And so many examples come to mind for me. And it's funny too, because I have to appreciate, and I invite you to appreciate too, the ways that we say were the smaller ways that self-expression came through, because it's that paradox of the smallest things can be the biggest breakthroughs. And so just a lot of acknowledgement of ourselves when we can be with ourselves to calm and give that compassion for what we experienced, and really the appreciation for our willingness too, to even try something new and not go into that protective shell and place that we may have been in all these years, and to try something new. And it's really brave work. And it's what I love witnessing. I think that we all are dealing with this in many ways, but I love witnessing it across humanity. And saying to an earlier recording today that I'm probably around 90, 95, like getting near 100 guests. And I really want to count because I want to celebrate when that 100th guest comes through. I see us all like exercising around this, let's just take the vow of being quieter or quieting ourselves, is I see people having more mindfulness, curiosity, awareness, consciousness around what they want to experience and allowing this new vision to come through for that, and practicing too. The practicing is a huge part of it all. So whatever vow you took that you came in with, and what's coming to mind for you today, is it resonant for you anymore? Does it fit who you are right now and who you are becoming? And what vow would you love to replace it with? Is there a new vow to yourself? And I think this is where the idea of inner marriage comes in, and marrying yourself. So even though this isn't about vows in marriage, it is about our vows we make to ourselves, that we will not abandon ourselves in our needs, that we will speak our needs, that we will lovingly look at overgiving or people-pleasing ways, and recreate in a journal or on a screensaver. I love to put things in screensavers. A new mantra, a new vow. I vow to stand by my own side when conflict occurs. I vow to practice self-expression. I vow to share how I feel. I vow to be with my fear, to understand it and help dissolve and release it. I vow to be on my own path. I vow to honor my uniqueness and my divine blueprint and why I'm here, and know that the vows I made were very much so to keep me safe. And if there's room for them and they still have a place at your table, then by all means keep them, because we never want to get rid of something in a way like when we're not ready to, and when it's still serving a purpose to keep us safe. So there's lots of different ways to think of it. It is said that your experiences and hard times you went through steer you to the place of what am I here to do? They inform your path. And I can see that so clearly on my life's path. I took steps that I didn't even realize were important to my journey, even though I sometimes look back and say, why did I study speech language pathology in my mid-20s, a career that I only practiced so many years and never truly fell in love with? I would shame myself and say, well, why didn't you go back for therapy school? That would have been more applicable. But as Mel Ramone, who I interviewed recently, says, it's right because it occurred. And second guessing it does not really do anything but really shame the choice that I made. And now I can see it. It wasn't resonant as a career, but it was about cultivating language, functions of the voice, clearly stating your needs. But sort of blows me away how it actually ties in so perfectly. And sure, yeah, I didn't use it as a career for more than 10 years probably, but it really fit like a puzzle piece into my puzzle of life. Then that's so closely related to amplifying voices on the podcast or within a coaching container or the groups I run or the community that's here for you, Mystical Sisterhood Rising, that it's a place where we can really amplify our voices to not keep silent, to keep the peace, or to make anyone else comfortable, but to say what we need to say. I always love the John Mayer song, Say What You Need to Say. I think it's called Say. I love it. And I love giving the space to what women have to say, what messages need to come through. And we know too that that feminine frequency right now is really being called for on earth. I believe that's being cultivated here. So when we get clearer through our throat chakra, clearer in an expression without guilt, shame, nervousness, or any sort of apology, you choose the path that you're on right now. Just know that Mystical Sisterhood is always a space to share, to process, and to come to a new understanding of yourself, your experiences, and your life's path. I've had many things in my life that were not serving me well. And when I went to release them, it took a while because I felt like I was losing a best friend. They've been our ride or die, if you know what I mean. So if you do one thing as you turn off the podcast today, it's to honor yourself, to just really recognize and thank whatever vow you made, and really question whether it serves you any longer. So until we meet the next time, trust in your own becoming, because I'm trusting you, and I know it's happening because I'm seeing it all the time. Thanks for being here with me on a solo episode, and we'll see you next week. Thanks for listening to this episode of Mystical Sisterhood. If you love what you heard, please hit that subscribe button wherever you're listening. And if it's on Apple or Spotify, I would be so grateful for a 5-star rating and review. And be sure to share with a friend if you're called to do so. To learn more about my 1-on-1 coaching programs and join the Mystical Sisterhood community, visit MaureenSpielman.com or MysticalSisterhood.com.